We're having such a good time here in Grand Forks. So many great things happening. Then the winter weather advisory happens, and I'm like, oh, right, it's December. We shouldn't be too shouldn't be too pissed off about this whole thing. So there we go. That's your weather report here from the Soderstrom Bubble. I'm Scotty Waz. That's Jen, the NHL history girl. You can find her also on the Sporting News, a fine piece about Marguerite Norris and the Hall of Fame and all other fun stuff to which people can get involved. How can they do that, Jen?
You can read the open letter I wrote to the committee, and at the bottom, you can use my letter as a template, write your own, and I added the contact, the mailing info for how to mail your letter and who to address it to.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any kind of credence given to like a fan vote to all that.
You know, let's find out.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Let's make this our experiment. Let's find out.
Good experiment to have.
Yeah.
There's far stupider experiments like the fan NHL hockey all-star fan vote, which has just started if you're scoring at home or even if you're alone. So you got that going for you. So this past week, actually, we're recording this actually on our traditional Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Happened Saturday, was the anniversary of the Patty Waugh game?
Yep.
Which, ironically enough, they had Detroit and Montreal play again, and to a different result.
Off by one goal.
And to the other side.
Yep.
So, but obviously this was a thing. I almost want to say that cursed the Canadiens until now.
For a while, certainly. It wasn't a great trade that they made.
No, because it was Christ, if I can remember off the top of my head. Was it Waugh and Keane?
Yes.
For Jesus. Was it Tebow, I know for sure.
Yep.
Andrei Kovalenko?
Yep.
And I can't remember. There's another.
Ruzynski.
Oh, Martin Ruzynski.
Yep.
I know. We have 4 out of 5, right? It's 80%. I would pass.
Yep. I have the trade tree here.
So, what is a trade tree?
A trade tree is where you take the original trade and you see how far it extends and until there are no more players
playing.
And it ends with 2014.
Wow.
Yeah. So you have the original players who were involved. Tebow was dealt for Hackett, who played decently well, who was traded for Sundstrom, also decent, who was traded for a pick used with Matthew Garon to acquire Radek Bonk and Cristobal Huwe, and that's how the Habs sort of got out of their 90s hole.
A little bit, yeah.
but the rest of it is Kovalenko was dealt to Edmonton for Scott Thornton. Thornton was dealt to Dallas for Lind. Lind walked as a free agent, so that branch ended. Ruzynski was dealt with Benoit Brunet to Dallas for Donald Audet and Sean Van Allen. Van Allen walks as a free agent. Audet is released by Montreal. Tebow, it goes for Hackett, Reinwick, fourth round pick. Then Hackett's dealt to San Jose for Nick Sundstrom and a third round pick. And then the third round pick was Matthew Garon and the pick to.
Right, you went over that trade already?
Yeah, for Huwe and Bonk. And then Bonk walks. And so it just keeps
Huwe
going.
Gets traded to the Capitals.
Yep, in 2008. And Matthew Schneider.
Wow.
Yeah, was involved as late as 2009. So.
Hey guys, I'm still here.
Yeah. So that's how that trade tree kind of worked out.
It's interesting because during that time when Patrick Waugh was walking out, that was a different, like, this was two, three years removed from their last Stanley Cup.
Yep.
2 years removed.
Yep.
This was a very odd time. Because it seemed like the front office and coaching position was much more jacked up than it normally is.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed that nobody liked the guys that were in charge.
Mm-mm.
And then this kind of threw that final straw that broke the camel's back there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, if you people don't remember the game, December 2nd, 1995, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Waugh gets up. Was he let in for all 10?
Yeah.
10 of the 11?
They kept him in the whole game.
Mm-hmm. Was there ever a reason? I can't remember one out of the back of my head, in all honesty. Although I'm probably wrong.
No, the reasoning was that he was a pro, and they didn't want to throw... I think they didn't want to... They didn't have the confidence to throw their backup in. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't matter. They just thought that Patrick Waugh was a pro and he was going to be able to handle it, because he'd handled games like that in his youth when he played for a really, really horrible junior team.
Mm-hmm. But that was also mid-80s, too.
Right, right. So he saw it as an embarrassment and a humiliation, and he actually thought it was a deliberate humiliation on the coach's part and management's part. And that's why he skated by Ronald Corey and said, "I want out. Mm-hmm. I'm never playing for you again."
Yeah. I wonder what would have happened if they actually didn't trade him. Like, would he have sat out? I wonder.
I think he would have sat out. Yeah. Absolutely.
He had his rings by that point. He had finished everything. He's, you know.
Well, he was the star. Who else was as big a star as he was at that point?
On that team or in general?
In general. Like, at goalie-wise. Like what other goalie would have that sort of
pull? Yeah, not many at that time.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the goalies in the league that time. Maybe Grant Fuhr.
Maybe.
But he was on the downslide of his career, too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, especially in the Montreal Craven media, where it's just, you know.
Yeah. I mean, when Patrick Waugh was in the hospital with appendicitis between playoff games, they had media station there around the clock. So you can imagine what it would have been like had he sat out. I mean, it just would have become a ridiculous circus of a circus.
Did fans at the time know the impact of, like, trading him away?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How, yeah, like, we knew.
How did they not get lynched in the stead of that? Because that seems like a pretty big damning burden to have. And especially for a rabid fan base like that to not literally go to the coach and GM's house. Rajon Houle was the GM. Mm-hmm. And who was the coach at the time? Was it Tremblay?
Yeah.
Like, how do they not go to their house and just string him up or egg it or TP it? Like,
well, Montreal fans generally only... Well, to this point, they only rioted when the NHL president was involved, so... Mm. There was a lot of outcry, a lot of protest, a lot of angry signs, a lot of, you know, the usual fan protests, calling into the radio shows and writing letters to the editor and writing letters to the team and calling the team switchboard and leaving angry messages and, yeah.
Yeah, so basically your usual protest thing.
Yeah.
But I would think that, I guess because it was the internet wasn't readily available this time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised they haven't gone to Bergevin's house already. I mean, they're winning again, but Jesus. Like, that's a tough road to hoe for them. So I guess, you know, obviously Patrick Waugh gets traded to Colorado and ultimately win the cup and start that little dynasty there.
Definitely a win for him.
Could you say they ever bounced back from that trade?
Not entirely.
No?
No. Not entirely, because, I mean, how do you replace a goalie like Patrick Waugh?
Jocelyn Thibault, obviously.
I mean, Hue was good, but he's not elite by any stretch.
Neither, like, the goalies since then, yeah. Like, no, Hackett, not that elite.
No.
Thibault wasn't that great.
Nope.
Thibault was serviceable.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, overall, it's just a curse.
Until Price... They've not had what you would consider an elite, like a truly elite goalie.
It has been really patchwork.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the goalies. Teodor won a Vezina. Teodor was good in a two or three year spurt, but it wasn't long lasting.
Yeah, he had a definite peak, but not not consistent.
And that's weird because, like, especially to be a Francophone goaltender in that time in Montreal. How do you... I'm sure every comparison... Well, even non-Francophones, like, every comparison is to Wall.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's like, how do you even live in that kind of shadow?
Yeah.
It's bizarre as hell.
Like, I didn't even... I was never a fan of Wall. Like, I could appreciate his skill, but I was never, like, a fan of his. Mm-hmm. But even I was pretty angry about the trade.
Well, yeah, you had to be. So... Like, you know, who wasn't? Yeah. Like, Colorado Avalanche fans, that's who. They didn't know what the hell was going on. We're like, oh, we got this big player. Cool.
Yep.
We don't know what hockey is. Now we're going to get into it because we're winning. We're front runners.
Right after relocation.
Yeah. Literally, just, what was it? 2 months, 3 months after the relocation? Yeah. They get a game changer. And then they get like a non-injured Peter Forsberg and Joe Sakic becomes what he is, aside from an incompetent GM. So, but, you know, it's funny. We don't see... many of these dragged out trade requests, like in terms of embarrassment, I think the last one, and you mentioned when we were thinking, you know, brainstorming this like an hour ago before we recorded, the St. Louis deal.
Yeah. Yeah. St. Louis wanted a trade because he felt Tampa management had embarrassed him by leaving him off the Olympic squad.
Well, yeah, because Steve Yzerman is the GM of both Tampa and Hockey Canada. But
yeah,
at the same time, it's like, one does not beget another, I don't think.
No, there comes a point where you need an ego check on both sides.
Especially when he's 38, when that happened.
Yeah.
Like, or he was older. He wasn't like, I don't think he was 38, but he was up there. Like, that seems odd to me that you wouldn't have the wherewithal to see, oh, yeah, this is what we need to do here.
Yeah. I think he was just so used to... these things happening. Like, he expected to be on the team because he'd been on the team before and he'd been...
Well, that's like Gretzky thinking, you know what, I'm on the team. I could get on the team in 2002. I don't need to be... No, you're going to be GM.
Yeah.
You're going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you've always had it, so why wouldn't you have it this time? Mm-hmm. I mean...
Loyalty does not work. Well, it's 4 years, too. Shit ton can change in 4 years.
Yeah.
Like, your skill can diminish in 4 years easy.
Or you can have an injury that, you know, brings you down a level.
Right.
You know?
I mean, you got to look at, like, the other players. So you don't want to be a ride-along, too. Because if he got picked for the team, he's going to want to play.
Right.
And he's not going to be a ride-along guy. So.
Nope. And you don't need that disrupting the team, either.
No. You don't need that kind of garbage on your team near. So, and I'm trying to think, there's been other trade requests. They don't really demand it, as it is a request. Matt Duchene being a more recent one. Thomas Hamonic, yep.
Yeah.
Both got dealt eventually.
Eventually.
Although Hamonic, quote unquote, you know, pulled his trade request.
Yeah.
Though that kind of, got fulfilled in the end.
Trade requests or trade demands don't have the urgency today that they... had back then.
Well, you can't now. The salary cap buffs it all up.
No, plus you're restricted if you're a restricted free agent, or, you know, if you have free agency coming up, you're restricted that way as well with the CBA and the rules. And thanks to Yashin, you can't sit out a year and think you can get away with it and be like, okay, well, that was my free agency.
That was my last year of my contract, guys. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
When we get to the holdout part. But, I mean, the trade request situations in the past years has not been... There hasn't been that many, I guess, big trade... Jonathan Drouin, which was, like, the holdout into the trade. But it was a holdout into, okay, I'll get back on the ice and fulfill, and then the trade in the summer kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just guys who... Cause it's funny because they're just like, the hockey players need a personality. Hockey players need a personality. I don't want to play here anymore. Move me. That fucking ignorant son of a bitch. I don't
you,
like him.
You disloyal jerk, you.
Exactly. How dare you? For the name on the front, not on the back. Stupid. That crowd.
Yeah.
Which, I guess at times you can say, yeah, you know, the Marty St. Louis thing, you can kind of be like, yeah, let's...
Yeah,
that one's a little silly.
Yeah. That one was an ego thing. Pure and simple. Just ego.
I mean, he got moved to New York, had a decent time there, and you know, it was what it was. Got his number retired eventually. I mean, it's more than some legends on some teams can say.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Christ, like, that's a whole thing in itself. Like, guy, team by team. We'll do that next week. Team by team, players that don't have their number retired that should. How's okay. that?
Yeah, that works.
We gotta write this down somewhere.
Okay.
We'll write it down somewhere before we forget, in like Sunday or Saturday when we start recording. What the hell are we gonna talk about? But yeah, I mean, like the salary cap's a big thing holding people back. Contracts things, you know, guys can't just sit out and then they say they do a year, especially in this legal
well,
thing.
Well, and now that the trade request is public, you're kind of handcuffed.
Yeah, your leverage goes down, or the team's leverage goes down, and you know.
Yep. And they know, because of the salary cap, everyone knows exactly how much you can spend, and they're going to use that to their advantage, too.
Absolutely. You can't, like, you have to almost have to tell the players, like, are you goddamn crazy doing this? You see, we got $26 to spend on this cap. I'm Stan Bowman, damn it. I don't, this doesn't happen to me. I'm going to have Vinny Hiroshima come up here and play. I don't think that's his name. Hirozuma. I think it's close to Hiroshima. He's the bomb, though. Listen, the point is here is that just trade requests now, I almost miss it. I almost miss the demand to get the hell out of a place.
Yeah.
Like, the Matt Duchene thing was the closest thing we've had to Patrick Waugh in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Although he did play, like, and he's just kind of just begrudgingly played.
Well,
he's almost like
less begrudgingly than Yashin did. I mean, sure. Yashin just showed up so he didn't get fined.
Exactly. But I mean, Duchene was like Ned Braden during the fights of the and then Slapshot. He's just skating away and just how are we doing? How are we winning? Yeah. How are we winning? And why am I still here? Yeah. This is bull. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, but the Patrick Waugh thing was definitely that was a weird time. Because, like, you know, you didn't have these blockbuster trades in the middle of the season, much less with a name like Patrick Waugh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Joe Thornton trade, which has been chronicled on the Faceoff Hockey Show, that's one of our memorable moments, because that happened while we were on air. And this is when we were doing back telephone lines. So I was connected to a telephone and Lyle was on like another telephone. And it was a bizarre time, and like the reaction from that is just like one of the most pure, like, holy crap, how did this happen? They're pulling them off the ice. So, and I mean, you don't have these many, like, what was the big one that happened just recently? They said was a blockbuster. Was it the Shane trade? Probably the Shane trade.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big of a blockbuster.
I think blockbuster is best left to history. I mean, it seems like a blockbuster at the time.
No, it was the Devils one they just did, too. That was people were saying
Gianta?
It was a big deal. No, Jesus, they just traded, oh, God, I don't have anything in front of me either. I could look it up, and, they just traded, son of a B! He's one of the most popular players. I don't know, it'll come to me. All right, yeah. But anyway, while I look that up, how is Waugh remembered? Is Waugh remembered favorably in the lore?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll always be St. Patrick in Habs land. I don't think they blame him for wanting out in that situation.
Yeah. Adam Henrique traded for Sammy Vatanen.
Yeah, it's not a blockbuster.
No. Well, to some people, it's a blockbuster. People have different...
To me, a blockbuster
is... it league-wide?
Yeah, something that's going to have a larger impact, like Weber for...
Subban,
which is going to have a larger impact.
That was straight up, too.
Yep.
Jesus.
Yep.
It's a bad
or
deal.
Hall, it's a bad the deal. Hall trade.
That's a bad deal, too, in hindsight.
Yeah.
Sam Larson, I guess, ain't that great.
Huh? Imagine.
You have to wonder, like, the systems. Everyone's just like, oh, like, when football, oh, Tom Brady's a systems quarterback. That's why he's so good. Yeah, no, he's got 5 championships. I can't blame the system. System's fine. Everyone else is the idiots. If they can't figure out what the system is after 22 years or however long Brady's been in the league. So, yeah, the real big deal. And the coverage it's been getting, because it's been... That would be like 22 years. Yeah, 22 years.
22
that
years.
That trade can drink.
Yes. Yes.
It's funny, I was at the bar yesterday with some coworkers, and I saw that the drinking age is 96. I'm like, Jesus! I was 13 then! Golly! What a weird time to be alive. So, yeah, there we go. The Big trade. Not a lot of trade demands. So
no. Although the early 90s were a time for holdouts. There were a lot of holdouts in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Because that was, you could do that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a situation where you weren't happy with this. Obviously, it was contracts. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one off the top of my head is.
Well, that's when they're adjusting from everyone making, sub-million.
Everyone making six figures to everyone making seven figures.
Right, and players were being left behind, mm-hmm. and they didn't like that, and so they were able to hold out and get more money.
Right.
But anyway.
And the two ones that I remember the most were Pavanka and Bondra.
Sure.
Because, obviously, as a Caps fan, those are the two biggest guys, and they hold out together. A lot of your offense goes down a little bit.
Yeah.
And Curtis Joseph is another one, because a lot of these guys went to play in the IHL.
Because
mm-hmm. the IHL is like, we have money and we don't care about it. Here's some money. It's like, oh.
Actually, the Vegas Thunder didn't pay Curtis Joseph, according to him. Yeah. He said that they gave him a room at the Luxor and a car to use, but they didn't pay him.
Weird.
They just paid his room and board, I guess, or just his room and a car. According to him, anyway.
Makes sense.
They didn't pay him outright.
No. No, that makes sense, because it's like, you get millions of dollars and you get a good rookie deal. We're struggling here. You have Clint Miller chucking net. You're helping us here. But I mean, I guess that the Luxor probably at that time probably were like $89 a night. You gotta figure that over a couple months.
And he said five weeks.
5 weeks.
Yeah. A month and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that one. The Bondra and Pavanka went to play in Detroit. And honestly, that's what really killed the IHL in terms of players going to the IHL, getting a little bit of a payday, and then signing back with their teams after being holdouts. And
they're only holdouts for like 38 days.
Yeah, that's the max. And it's like, putting a guy out and trying to get fans in here. Team going to be any good when we get back? Who knows?
Yeah.
Who's to say? But you mentioned... You mentioned the Yashin holdout, and that was dramatic in and of itself. Because sure, why not? Why wouldn't it be dramatic with a high draft pick for the Ottawa Senators? I mean, hell, Daig and Yashin, why not?
Yeah, well, so he had a year left before free agency, and he wanted the team to tear up his contract and renegotiate a new one, and they wouldn't do it.
Because he couldn't, I don't think. I don't think you can renegotiate contracts in the NHL. I don't think restructuring is a thing.
You can, but you have to follow some pretty complicated rules, and there have to be some circumstances in place, So he refused to play, and he thought, well, okay, if I just sit out this year, then I'm a free agent, because there's nothing in the CBA saying I have to play. I just have to be...
I had to be present.
Yeah. And so it ended up going to arbitration because the team and the league argued that he couldn't be declared a free agent on the grounds that he hadn't actually fulfilled his playing contract. Keyword there being playing. So it went to arbitration and the Sens won. And so Yashin had to play that last year. And then the Sens finally agreed to move him to the Islanders.
God, the Islanders.
For Bill Muckle.
He
went with
Yashin.
He went with Yashin.
And then in
for
Chara, what turned out to be Jason Spezza.
Yep.
I think that was it. Or is there one
That's
more?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good job on... I don't even know who the GM at the time was for the Senators. I want to say it was Muckler.
Yeah, I want to say it's Muckler, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
George Muckler. I don't know his first name. Jim Muckler. Steve Muckler. Whatever. Point is this. That turned out to be a really good deal. And one of the damning things against Mike Milbury's GM career.
Just one.
One of them.
one of many.
Because then you got Luongo, then you got Jokinen to add on to that, on his terrible, terrible trades. And like we said, Cujo was a holdout between 95 and 96. Then at the beginning of the 95-96 season, he kind of told St. Louis, hey, what are you doing? Was it St. Louis? Because then he got, I think he got traded to... He got traded to Edmonton.
Yep, he got traded to Edmonton.
During the holdout.
Yep, so St. Louis to Edmonton.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was a weird deal.
And Grant Fuhr sat out.
Grant Fuhr. When was... That was the 80...
It was late 80s.
Yeah, because Andy Moog was there for a bit, and then...
I want to say...
Because Andy Moog got traded in 90. No, 80, 89. He was there for 90 in the Bruins. But at the same time, it was just like, you know, that's kind of bizarre. Sean Burke, another one. A guy who, when the national team had a national team that traveled around, he went to play for them. And Sweet Lou did not like that, I'm sure. But he came back and everything was fine-ish.
During Grant Fuhr's holdout, he actually had plans to have, like, I think Pepsi in... endorsements on his
pads?
That
was a couple years prior.
Oh, was it?
Because that was one of the things, that was the big holdup for, because I remember that situation where he wanted to have the Pepsi pads on his logo, and the NHL was just like, no, we don't, A, we don't want to advertise. B, I think we got to deal with Coke, Grant. Like, we can't, you did too, so you know about that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those things where, and it's funny because you look at it now, like, you look at European hockey now, it's just like, ah, it's not that bad. Look at the stuff that's on goalie pads now. Holy Jesus. Good Lord Almighty. That would have been interesting. You'd see his old DNR pads with the Pepsi logo. I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah, that'd be strange.
It's almost like the CM Punk thing with wrestling. It's like, I have sponsorship deals, you wouldn't let me have sponsorship deals, but Brock Lesnar comes in with a freaking Jimmy John's on his trunks.
Yeah.
And you think that's cool. So, what other big holdouts do you have that I'm missing?
Steve Larmer.
Ah, yeah, Steve Larmer.
Yeah. He was making $790,000. And then again, that's that catch-up time when everyone wanted to be a millionaire instead of a thousandaire.
It was after the first lockout, I think? Or was it after the player strike?
No, this was 93. This is...
Player strike.
Player strike. So he had not missed a game in his entire career. He was at 884 games consecutive. And if he played, he could break the streak that season, except he was holding out for more money. And then there was speculation the league might grant some sort of exception for sitting out games, which why would they do that?
Yeah, that seems dumb.
That's
Chicago fans grasping at straws.
Yeah. And the Blackhawks didn't really want to trade him. He wanted a trade. They didn't want he wanted more money or trade, preferably both. They didn't want to trade him. They didn't want to pay him more money because, well, you know, who is in charge? And so opening night came and went, and he missed the game. Broke the streak over a contract dispute.
Which, I mean, I guess, you know, it's fine in terms of morals. Good for him, I guess.
Yeah. There's Messier.
What was Messier's deal? Lays didn't give him enough potato chips? What's happening?
He wanted out of Edmonton in 91. And so he told the GM, Glenn Sather, he just wasn't going to show up until he was traded. And so early in the season, in the next season... made a trade with the Rangers for Bernie Nichols and prospects. Mm. So, I mean, that worked out pretty well for the Rangers. Not necessarily so well for the Oilers.
No, and that was the start of the downturn of the Oilers in the early 90s from their dynasty era in the 80s.
Yeah. He did it again, though, to the Rangers.
Of course he did.
The next offseason... He wanted the Rangers to tear up his $2.6 million contract and give him a longer-term deal that would more than double his salary. And then he sat out all the way through until late January.
Leadership award, kids. They gave this person a leadership award.
Yeah, he hadn't agreed to a new deal until, like, literally hours before the Rangers home opener and banner raising for that season.
Leader. He is a leader.
Yeah. Pavel Bure held out. We all know how that went.
Sure. What was the Pronger one?
The Pronger one was he just wanted out of Edmonton.
Oh, I do remember that one. He signed there. Was it him and Pekka signed there like a year before?
Yeah.
And Pronger, that was fun because that was the start of like the real wild internet age.
Yeah.
Where everyone's just like, oh, why does he want out? Oh, he banged the weather girl and got her pregnant. That was the biggest like story. Allegedly. Banged the weather girl and got her pregnant. Allegedly.
Yeah.
But that was like the big story going around like message boards. Oh, he got.
Yeah, that's always a story.
Sure, it's the best when you bang in local news. Sure.
Or another player's wife. That's the other.
Oh, that was the
trade
Shane,
rumor.
Like the Shane Corson and Darcy Tucker and.
Well, that was one about Patrick Sharp too.
Yeah, Patrick Sharp. A whole lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them get tagged with that one. Okay, so the Oilers traded Chris Pronger to the Ducks for Joffrey Leupel, Ladislav Smead, and 2007 first rounder, 2008 first rounder, and second rounder. And so, you know, he did okay going to the Ducks. 150 points, 220 games, plus another 30 points in 30 playoff games, plus, you know, a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
All right, so let's see here.
You got that sweet deal with the Coyotes now, too, with the... he's working for the league, but he's also getting paid by the Coyotes. It's a really weird situation.
Yep. And there's a trade tree that goes with it, and it's kind of interesting as well. And part of it involves Dustin Penner's offer sheet, and
Jesus,
it's kind
I
of
forgot about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a wild thing if you track it. Steve Dangle did a really good job breaking it down. So
good for him.
Give it. You can Google. Oilers trade tree Chris Pronger, and you should be able to find Dangle's column on it. So
cool. Is there any other big holdouts that you can remember offhand? Drew Wren was probably the latest one.
Yeah,
the holdout where under contract and then finally comes back to play, bets on himself, does it, and then he gets traded to Montreal because sure, why wouldn't they? Sure, let's get a francophone in there, why wouldn't we?
Yep.
Let him pressure himself. Man, a man of Shevitz. Anything else, Anna?
Nope. I think I'm good.
Cool. We had some UND hockey this weekend. We had Friday night against the Western Michigan Broncos.
Chippy game.
Chippy at the end.
Chippy.
All three. Like it was a 6-on-3 at the end with three UND guys in the box, and at the end, like those guys came rushing out. Peter Tomey could be my new favorite player.
He
like,
is mine.
Peter Tomey is probably the greatest like backup
He's
goalie.
So amped.
Since oh, he is jacked. At all times. Like, and I don't know if you saw it, but me and Goon saw it, Eric Burton. Yeah, he just waits bye-bye with
like,
his blocker
bye-bye.
In. This is a Friday night game. Like, this wasn't even Saturday night. Like,
and he's just taunting them.
He's just taunting. He comes off the bench and runs and hugs Cameron because Cameron was about to get into it with the Western Michigan guy. Three guys come out of the box for UND, bum rushing, and the whole bench, it's right in front of the UND's bench, so they're trying to come out and celebrate, and they're roughing up.
And then I think my favorite part is Bradbury very coolly walks out there. Bradbury, the coach, he just very coolly, like, just cool, just walks out there, grabs two players, pulls them apart like Velcro, and is like, stop this shit.
And he's pulling Western Michigan guys by their shoulder pads and taking them back to their bench.
Yeah, yeah. Just very calm out there. You know?
I tell you what, I mean, the thing about, I mean, they barely squeaked that one out 4-3 on Friday night. They got four unanswered goals.
That was a very back and forth
game. It really was. They had four unanswered goals on Saturday, which we didn't see because we went somewhere, and I'll tell you that in a minute. But, I mean, it seemed that they're getting better performances as the season goes on, just in time for the winter break to happen and just completely stall all that momentum.
Yep.
I will say this. Dawson beat DiPietro is a great story for Western Michigan. Walk on.
Uh-huh.
Got one game in, and now it's like their leading scorer.
Uh-huh.
Biggest flopper I've seen in college hockey yet.
No, it was bad.
He got touched, like, they went skate on skate, and when they're striding, he falls like he was shot from the third row.
Yeah.
Like, it was like he was Lincoln, and John Wilkes Booth was in, you know, section 113, and took him out. Like,
it wasn't just a dive, it was a half gainer, it was a, you know, the Russian judges give it a 9.9.
Exactly.
I mean,
there was no splash on the dive, like, there was no splash, that's how good it was.
Oh, the other one, he got tapped across the shoulders. I mean, just tapped, like, pink, and he just fell over like a felled tree.
Yeah. I do like, I mean, I like the young kids, because Gabe Bass went after every guy who's, he took did. The biggest guy in the yard, and it's like, come on.
He was just charging around, like, who wants some?
Yeah, like, during a scrum, like, he grabbed, like, the 6'7 guy. Gabe Bass is, like, 5'10, like, standing on his tiptoes. He takes a 5'7 guy by the collar and just throws him into the board. He's like, come on, you want to do something now? And then, like, because it was a 5-on-3, everybody swarmed him. I mean, that's probably not the smartest idea, Gabe. You're outnumbered here, champ, but... I mean, he's kind of slowed down in terms of his production offensively, but I think defensively he's getting a lot better.
Yeah, which is a fair trade-off.
Yeah, Cammer back in net. Didn't see many shots on Friday.
No.
Played well, though.
No, but Tomei's my favorite, honestly.
Yeah, Tomei's going to be good for the next 3 years.
I think he was my favorite the instant I saw him all amped up and yelling from the bench during his first...
Oh, during Minnesota, yeah.
Yeah, like, he was just all amped up and yelling and...
Just beaking at guys during the face-off in the offensive zone.
Yeah,
like, he's... beaking the defenseman at, like, the draw, like something's playing. He's just reaching over the bench and yelling at him, calling him a lot of things, and it's just.
And then he stops, like, mid-interview to
knock on wood.
He's just
asking us questions if things deliver on Saturday. He got his new mask. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't checked Slosh's Twitter.
Yeah.
Or anybody's Twitter for that matter. To see if I should have. Damn, I should have told you.
I think Columbus fans will be pleased with him, provided that he doesn't Turco it up too much or DiPietro too much, which he is a habit he has to break.
I think the trapezoid helps him not stroll.
Yeah,
the fact that NCAA doesn't have a trapezoid, that's worrisome.
Yeah.
Although most of his, like, some of the times he comes into the corner, most of the times he's coming straight across the goal line to stop it. It's like, he just needs to recover better.
Yeah.
It's not so much he needs to wander. To stop wandering, he needs to recover better.
It's a little bit of both.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
He does take a lot of risk. He is a freshman, though.
He does, you know, go on a far journey every now and then.
Yeah, he's a freshman, though. I can't really rip him on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Friday's game was fun. Saturday we went to Christopher Titus.
Yay.
Your favorite, one of your favorite comedians, if not the favorite.
Yep.
That's all right.
Not your thing.
No, it's not his form of comedy, not my thing.
No. His delivery.
His delivery's fine. Like, the long form one man show. That's why I didn't like I like Colin Quinn. I don't like his one man shows, cuz it's not like he has Here's the points I want to get to. There's, like, very little riffing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very drawn out, and that's fine. That's an art form in itself. I mean, there's a couple jokes that hit with me, and I'm just like, it's racism. All right, sweet. Here we go. But, I mean, overall, it was okay, show.
Yeah.
You, I don't know, like, you seem to very much enjoy it.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
It's good. Fargo Theater, small.
It's small.
Theater.
It's a nice theater.
It's not bad, no.
It's just very small.
Very tiny.
You get very up close with your seatmates.
Yeah, I did notice that. Where it's just like...
There is zero elbow room.
No, it's like the Spectrum.
Yeah.
Spectrum seats were tight as hell.
Yep.
So, here we go. That was our weekend of fun of and a half hockey. We have some cards here, though. Have some more cards.
Yay.
We might have to start an Etsy store soon. Or something. Just start hauling them out online. All right. Oh, here we go. Starting it off with the Secretary of Defense, Rod Langway.
The only player born in Taiwan.
Yes. Also, didn't stop playing until, like, his mid-40s.
Nope.
Because he played for the San Francisco Spiders, then played for the Richmond River Dogs, I think, for a time when he was a head coach as well.
Uh-huh.
He just kept playing. Like, dude was a hoss. Like, he was Ron Duguay without hair. Oh, here we go. Chelly. Chris Chelios.
Oh, Lord. He was a jersey thief.
Hmm?
He was a... No, wait, that was Roenick.
No. Oh. Chelly has a lot of chili.
Yeah, he has a bar now.
Yeah. Garth Butcher.
Yeah.
Nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Terry Yake.
Oh, one of the inaugural Ducks.
Yes.
Fan favorite.
I can't see that.
Yeah.
Very hardworking guy.
Every time I mention him... A certain segment of Ducks Twitter gets excited. Yay! You know.
Don't think you have anything on this guy. Dominic Lavoie.
No.
Bruce Hofford.
Nope.
Flyers goaltender prospect. Wes Walls!
Wes Walls. Nice guy.
Nice guy. Tries hard. Jeff Smith of the Oilers.
That's a generic name.
During their downtime of the when they had all Smiths on the blue line.
Yeah.
František Musil.
He worked in the off season, doing various jobs, including selling cars in a meatpacking plant.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is this over back home or
no? This was here
in BC. He didn't go back to Czechoslovakia for that.
No.
That's hilarious.
He didn't like the downtime of the off season.
Oh wow.
And he thought. Just in case I don't get re-signed, just in case I get cut from the team, just in case, you know. He still very much had that mentality from back home that I need this job.
To survive.
To survive.
Wow. That's yeah. pretty cool. Especially in the 90s, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Western Michigan assistant coach Todd Krieger.
Oh.
Krieger's former Capital.
I know I have a story about him, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
Okay. We'll move on. Troy Murray of the Chicago Blackhawks. To steal a bit from Puck Soup, coach your sweet Golden Knights, Gerard Gallant.
I have a picture of him horsing around and putting a Steve Yzerman in a headlock.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Like currently?
No.
It'd be great. Like no, if this was at the award show.
This was back when I think Yzerman was a rookie.
Makes sense. Dave Babich.
Of the Stash?
Stash Babich, yeah.
Yeah.
Big Stash Babich. Nothing?
No.
Tim Kerr.
I'm sure I could if I had prep time, but...
Finally, Patrick Flatley.
Yeah.
Very underrated Islanders player. I always thought Patrick Flatley yes. was. Kind of got lost because Pierre Turgeon was there. Ferraro was there for a time. Stumpy Thomas was there.
Mm.
Like that Islanders team in the mid-90s, underrated. Like today's game, they would be just grit guys.
Mm.
Like people would praise them for their grit, but you know, during that 90s time, Glenn Healy and that can't really say anything.
So. All right.
Well, I think we've done it. I think we put in some time.
Yeah.
Did better than a half hour. Not as good as 45 minutes, not as good as an hour. But hey, here we are. Next week we'll do like the Hall of Fame stuff, or the banner raising stuff.
Yep.
Check us. Where do people go? Just sportingnews.com/NHL.
Yeah.
And then check out Hockey Time Machine.
Yep.
And that's how people can get to your Marguerite Norris thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray! Anything else you got to plug or promote? Anything going on?
No. Right.
People can find you.
NHL History Girl.
Cool. You can find me at Scotty Waz. ScottyWaz.com. I just went on a. I had to work nights, so I just went on a writing binge because I had all my mornings. All right, I don't have to work till 3. Type. Face Off Hockey Show is on Wednesdays. Soderstrom Bubbles kind of on Sundays, I think. Whenever we
mostly.
Do and blogtalkradio.com/FOHS radio for all our back catalog. So that's all for Jen. I'm Scott. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Soderstrom Bubble on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. We'll talk to you guys again in 7 days' time. Bye.